Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Got a lot for you today.
Here's John Williams.
And then some little baby ones. I'll let you be the judge as to which are which. Hi, it's 108. This is John Williams. You're listening to WGN high above downtown. In the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above, a surprisingly safe city here in the United States. Details on that to come.
Last night, I didn't sleep. I was so stressed.
There's a lot of tossing and turning these days.
I had a dream that I was on a call to Ukraine.
All this political talk can make a person drowsy, irritable, and a little crazy.
When I woke up, I saw that I had called a crane company. I now own a $400,000 crane.
And that's a sign of politosis.
Politosis? Can you get me something for that? And do you have any big construction projects coming up?
The answer is no to big projects.
Darn.
But the answer is yes to politosis, and the cure is Eurelium Life 9000.
Was Eurelium one of the Russians?
No, Eurelium Life 9000 is the all-new, all-natural wonder drug made by an ethnically blended group of scientists in New Jersey.
Will it help me sleep?
Duh. It tackles lack of sleep, sore throats, itchy eyes, runny nose, scurvy, whooping cough, Dutch elm disease, and a host of gastrointestinal disorders, including but not limited to ringworm, nausea, constipation, too much gas, not enough gas. Hey, have you seen the price of gas lately? And that thing where your intestines aren't lined up right?
Did you say Dutch elm disease?
Take Eurelium Life 9000 is a pill, liquid, chewable briquette, capsule, gel cap, eye drop, nasal mist, ear burst, time release arm patch, powder, ointment, cream, and now an exciting new home epidural kit that has had some success.
So when I get stressed out about all this political talk, I should just take Eurelium Life 9000, right?
Don't take Eurelium Life 9000 if you're pregnant, operating heavy machinery, or plan on getting pregnant while operating heavy machinery.
Well, I do have this crane.
I'm going with the chewable briquette at my house, by the way. Comes in kind of graham flavor. So we're trying to ease your politosis without talking too much politics. But I just wanted to say one thing about yesterday's show. The news click at WGNradio.com. Our daily web poll question, you can always find it on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John. We asked you yesterday, Chicago Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson did not attend that police chief's convention, or actually he was at the event, but he wasn't at the president's speech to the police chiefs across the country. I thought it was international, across the world. Anyway, there was a bunch of police chiefs in Chicago. President spoke and he ran down Chicago. You know, Eddie Johnson didn't show up. We gave you two choices. We gave you three. Good choice, Eddie. I'm disappointed in you, Eddie, or I'm angry with you, Eddie. 72% said good choice, don't go. 21 were disappointed, and 8 were actually angry with his decision. So figure about 7 out of 10 said attaboy, Eddie, and about 3 out of 10 wished that he had, I guess, attended the president's speech. And at that speech, the president reminded the world how violent Chicago is. And whenever that happens, I think we need to pay attention to how violent Chicago is. And then do something about it. First, how violent is it? He is always reminding people that it's the murder capital of the world, that it's more dangerous here than it is in Afghanistan. That's not true. But let's just get our head around the first part. I looked up the FBI statistics for the murder rate in the United States. The most murderous city is St. Louis. The last time we did this, it was Milwaukee was surprisingly up there. Milwaukee is now 26th. So Milwaukee, not as bad as it was in terms of murders, but St. Louis is the murder capital. For every 100,000 people in St. Louis, 61 of them got murdered in 2018. Wow. So 61 is the number to keep in mind, right? Chicago is 16th on the list. Chicago is 20.7. 20.7 for Chicago at 16. And St. Louis is number one at 60.9. And the first half dozen cities are right around us, right? So if we're at 20.7, Buffalo is 22.1. Philadelphia is 22-1. Charleston is about that. San Bernardino is about that. Richmond, Virginia is about that. Number 10, Washington, D.C., more murderous than us, is right around there at 22.8. West Palm Beach, 24.2. Number 8 is Shreveport, 25.7. Then Dayton, Ohio, Memphis, Tennessee. By the way, Dayton, Ohio, who'd have thunk? I mean, if you said, okay, that's it, honey, we're leaving Chicago. Let's go to a safe place. We're moving to Dayton. Bad choice if you don't want to get murdered. Dayton, 26.4 to our 27. 20.7, that is. Okay, Memphis, Baton Rouge. I don't know if any of these surprise you. New Orleans, great party town, but a violent town. 37 is the number for New Orleans. And again, ours was 20.7. Detroit, 39. Baltimore, 51 people per 100,000. And in St. Louis, it's 61 people. So triple the murder rate, almost exactly triple the murder rate in St. Louis than it is in Chicago.
And why do you think they aren't talking about that?
I don't know. I mean, you got a guess on that, Lauren Lapka?
I have no idea. I feel like Missouri gets forgotten a lot, though.
If I was
as a state.
Yeah, well, and Missouri went with the president. So maybe Missourians don't want to hear that, and the president wants to continue to court their favor. Plus, everything the president doesn't like is in Chicago. Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Hillary Clinton's from here, Rahm Emanuel's from here. I mean, he likes this building. It's a beautiful building. It's the second tallest in our city. But he doesn't much like Chicago. And one more point about that, this is just speculation, right? But he can certainly diss Chicago and Illinois all he wants because you don't lose any votes that way. Missouri, you might. Wisconsin, you might. But he doesn't mention that. But then I thought, well, maybe the murder rate isn't as important to you and me. We're probably not going to be buying and selling drugs on the south or west side, and that's where people are getting killed. But what about just violence in Chicago? So if you look at the murder and the manslaughter and the rape and the robbery and the aggravated assault rates again, not totals. Of course, we're going to be in the top for most of these because we got more people. The rate is what is important, right? If you just look at violent crime, the worst city in America is Albuquerque, New Mexico. And again, I've got the numbers. In Albuquerque, the number is 73. Spokane, it's 72. Then Memphis, San Francisco, there's St. Louis again. St. Louis is in the game for murder and violent crimes. Then Oakland, Portland, Orlando is down a few. You get to Anchorage, Cincinnati, Baltimore. I won't read them all because you have to get to number 56, 56th most violent city for crime in America, cities over 100,000 people. Much worse than us are Anchorage, Cincinnati, Baltimore, Cleveland, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Des Moines. That's it, honey. We're moving to Des Moines. I can't take it here anymore. Great views. Love the arts. But the crime is just too much. We're moving to Des Moines. Much better chance that you'll be the victim of a violent crime in Des Moines. And Columbus. And Omaha. And Buffalo and Durham. I'm turning to page 3 now. There's Milwaukee, Lexington, Denver, St. Paul, Greensboro. And finally, at about number 56 or 55 on the list, it's Chicago, Illinois. 570 crimes versus the 32 is the number in Chicago versus 73 in Albuquerque. So, that's a lot just to say there's nothing to be proud of here. I mean, we should do something about any of that. And I'm not here to tell you what to do. I don't know what to do. I can't find that one cop that knows what to do. But I think it's important to know, relative to other cities, how are we doing? Literally, how bad is it? Crime's never going to be zero. So are we managing it relative to other cities in the country per capita? And the answer is, to me, yes. All of these cities should whittle them down. Starting with you, St. Louis, and Albuquerque. Lovely places. but more violent than ours. From Ben Bradley. In just a minute. Ben Bradley did a nice piece on Channel 9 last night. They fact-checked some of this from the president. Statistics that I didn't even do here. We'll get to that in a second. Jim, you wanted to say something? You're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hey, good. What's on your mind?
Firstly, I enjoy the show. Secondly, I'm in Ohio, and I kind of track Chicago because I'm from there. Daughters live there, and I have some feedback on the way you've responded to the Trump comments. Number one, Trump said exactly what we all thought he would say. Two, you could have responded two different ways to it. You could have responded, you know what? We need to take his comments with a grain of salt because we know he kind of, embellishes everything. All politicians do. Or we can sit here and rationalize over and over and over that we're not that bad. Look at St. Louis. Look at Des Moines. Let's pick on them. I think you're rationalizing. And I think when you rationalize, nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to improve. And you just said, I don't know what we can do about it. Unfortunately, your politicians feel the same way.
Yeah.
I think the problem in Chicago is you guys just keep rationalizing. You're literally, and I'll finish quickly, you are a national train wreck from several perspectives. It's not just the crime. Look at your financial situation.
Wait, just look, okay, I will.
Schools.
I will with you, but hold on.
Everything is a train wreck, so good luck.
Okay, but it's, are you hanging up now, or are you going to stay with me?
I'd love to stay with you.
Don't you think the crime should be calculated? I mean, Dayton is a national train wreck compared to Chicago. Dayton is worse than Chicago. So maybe that's rationalization to you. To me, it's alternative facts. We're both saying something that's true. I'm just trying to put it in perspective.
Yeah, I think you are. I think you are. But on the murders, it is very, and somebody's going to call in today, and I'm sure grumble that I said this, but Chicago's murders are extremely, you guys know this, extremely isolated to the south and west, and you could even drill down to certain blocks and neighborhoods and corners and intersections, and it's 95% black on black. And the police are inhibited tremendously from doing what I think they need to do to fix your problem.
Well, you're absolutely right about the fact that it's in isolated areas. I mean, it's the pity of this thing, right? If you're a kid growing up in some blocks, as you say, on the south and west side, the number is much worse than the ones I've just indicated. I mean, I don't know what it is on some blocks, but it is murderous. I don't know what to do about it. I literally don't know what to do about it. If you don't think that Rahm Emanuel and Lori Lightfoot and Eddie Johnson and all the people that have come before them don't wish they knew what to do about it, they would have done something about it. It can't be that clear.
I'll finish really quickly. I'm not naive to say it's due to guns, it's just due to gangs. My daughter, and here's the interesting perspective on it, my daughter, who now works off of Michigan Ave with a company there, taught for 5 years down at 6300 South Calumet, and she said, Dad, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
These schools have, and now we're getting into the teacher thing, they have no funds, they have no support. Parents, I think this education thing is so, so tremendously important because unless these kids learn and have a way to get out and have mentors, it's just going to be an ongoing spiral. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but it's frustrating because it is a great city.
It's frustrating for me, too. Hey, listen, I appreciate your phone call, Jim. I'm glad your daughter's in the city, and I hope you come visit us sometime.
I come all the time. Get all your sports teams winning, would you?
I'll tell you what, if I could solve one thing, I think the crime would be easier, okay?
One final comment from your show yesterday.
Yeah.
Malort is not a liqueur. It's more of a turpentine.
All right, take care. Thank you for the call. Yeah, I think have you seen the Bears? What's a tougher thing to tackle? Lauren Lapka, you got a day to solve one problem in Chicago. Is it the Bears' offense or is it crime? Go. I would say...
Both are going to be really difficult to fix.
That's a long day either way. Hey, John Williams says this text from 773. Can you please post those two statistics on Facebook so we can share them? I sure will. I didn't. I shared a couple of other things on Facebook today, but yeah, I'll go ahead and put that. I'm WGN King John, and after 3 o'clock, memo to self, after 3 o'clock, WGN King John on Facebook, I'll have links to those two sets of statistics I was mentioning. And John, is there a survey of shooting per neighborhood? And I think there is that as well. I'll look for that too. If maybe you see it, you could send it to me. WGN. I'm John Williams at WGNradio.com if you want to email me. John Williams at WGNradio.com. But there is a gun map in Chicago, and it is disastrous in the South and West Side. There, but for the grace of God, goes you and me. For news at 10, watch WGN. That's Micah Mateer, Joe Donlin, Dan Rohn, Chicago's most trusted meteorologist, skillful Tom Skilling. For TV news at 10, watch Chicago's very own WGN. Hey, if you need new windows or doors on your home, call the company recommended by Lou Manfredini of House Smarts Radio. Call Gilkey Windows. Gilkey manufactures the highest quality vinyl, fiberglass windows and doors in an endless variety of styles and colors. Call Gilkey now. For a limited time, you buy one, you get one 40% off on fiberglass or vinyl windows and doors, and no interest financing for up to 5 years. Call Gilkey, 888-3-GILKEY, 888-3-GILKEY. I got to take a break. We'll get you into the WGN Radio newsroom here in a few seconds. You can keep calling or texting 312-981-7200 about what we said, about what the president said. In the 2 o'clock hour, by the way, Beth Swerk, our former producer, lives in Northern California. She's putting up with those fires, and she's got some amazing stories to tell. She's got no power, but she will use her cell phone.
I'm just going to tell you, I cannot believe what's going on with this football team.
All right, OB, I'm not apologizing for anything. Flabbergasted is the word, OB.
And we have a coach by the name of Nagy. He does not understand the game at this level. I am so aggravated.
Are you referring mostly to...
Nagy!
Right,
did I say it loud enough?
This is an embarrassment to pro football. The Philly team was a crap team. This is a bigger crap team.
The season's not totally over yet.
It's about winning games.
We're winning.
Well, the best story from today was Montgomery going 27.
Who cares? Hey, they used him one drive. After that, you know what?
How is that possible? You got to be kidding me.
He should fire himself. Yeah, he should fire himself, OB. Be a man. Fire yourself.
You don't need to question yourself, OB.
God almighty.
They're all right with you.
Enough is enough.
Where's the Tylenol?
Couple of Grabowskis in a suburban Lockport bar deconstructing Sunday's football game. Didn't get a chance to play that for you yesterday. Roe beat me to the punch with some of those. I don't know what was the best line yesterday, but be a man, go fire yourself. That's got to be up there.
That was pretty outstanding, I have to say.
Listen, I wish the Bears won all their games 52-0, but when we lose... It's not a small consolation to me that we have the three Bears on WGN.
I was in my car literally crying laughing after the game.
I wasn't near a radio at the time, and it was in between things. I wasn't even watching the game at the time. But when I found out that the Bears lost, I thought, oh, this is going to be good. And I mean, better Bears win. Bears win good. Bears lose, three Bears really good. That's all you got. That's all we got for you.
It's really a conflict at this point for me.
Right, because, listen, I put it this way. If we're not going to make the playoffs, then more of this, please.
Yes.
But if we can make the playoffs, then less of this.
Probably no playoffs. So I think you could start rooting for the postgame.
Really,
show.
Mr. Sports Guy? You don't think the Bears are going to be in the playoffs?
And look at Green Bay and Minnesota. And really, right now, the Bears at 3-4. I know that We're not even halfway through, technically, but Bears are probably going to have to win
our schedule
7 of 9.
And our schedule is going to get tough now.
Yeah.
So are you, is the NFL like the Major League Baseball? I'm wondering if three teams from the same division could be in the playoffs.
They could, yes, because okay. There's two wild cards. But right now, Minnesota probably has one of them. So the Bears would have to go for the second one. And because they only have three wins through seven games, I mean, basically they would have to win 7 of 9 to be in a good position. If they win 6, they'd have a shot. But I think that when you look at the standings right now, there's enough teams that have been pretty good that even if they win 6 out of the last 9, that would give them no guarantee.
Well, Nagy should just go fire himself.
He should. Shouldn't we all?
I'm going to call myself in, then run around to the other side of the desk, sit there, then run around to the other side of the desk and say, hey, me, and then run around and go, what? And then run around and say, hey, you're fired. And then run around to the other side and say, what, me? What did I do wrong? Get in some exercise, if nothing else. Get your 10,000 steps and fire in yourself.
Did you hear this thing today, too, about the kicker?
Pinheiro?
Yeah.
Now, what about him?
So, apparently, he admitted today that he doesn't like to kick from the left hash. Except that, with 43 seconds left, they took a knee to set up the kick and didn't move the football to the middle, which he would be more comfortable kicking from.
Did he express that to the management of the team prior to the game?
It sounds like, from what I'm reading, he expressed this to the media and then immediately regretted saying it publicly and so backtracked.
Well, I ought to be able to hit it from either hash. I ought to be able to hit it from the locker room. But if we're going to take a knee just to for the express purpose of running the clock down and getting me a good kick, I mean, they didn't run to the sideline for a bad angle. They're positioning the ball. They figured this is a gimme, which I'm sorry, he'd missed a field goal. He was actually pretty good going into the game. I think he was 8 for 10.
Yeah.
But I would have run the ball for yardage or even passed. Is it that the team has so little confidence in the offense that they don't think they can execute a play without turning it over? I mean, it makes it sound like it's the most dangerous thing. They're going to do a triple reverse Statue of Liberty quarterback play or some crazy thing. No, we're just saying try and get 5 more yards without turning it over. That's all you got to do.
You would think that should be easy, but it does seem that implicitly that is what Matt Nagy is saying. He's saying, my offense can't get me 5 more yards.
Hey, let me tell you something. Zero chance. Zero chance we were going to run the ball. Zero chance we were going to throw the ball.
Yeah.
Pretty good chance we were going to turn the ball over is the implication there. Pretty good chance. So rather than that, just run the clock down and then give it to Lil Eddie. All right.
Guess we can't call him Steady Eddie anymore.
What's current temperature in the newsroom, Jordan Burnfield? You just mentioned that in the close of your news.
39 degrees.
Yeah. Snow is possibly in the forecast for Valentine's Day, earlier than you and I like it. At least our friends at CD1 Price Cleaners are doing a coat drive. How about that? Did you know about this? Michael Jackson is the field consultant for them. Let me throw him on for a second just to tell you as you get your coats out how you can do this. Hey, Michael, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you?
Hi, John. I'm doing well, thank you.
What do you think? Can you kick a field goal? What's your solution, sir?
Well, you know what? From either hash mark, I can kick a field goal.
you can?
I mean, my gosh. I mean, are you kidding me? I was listening. I can't even believe that we couldn't run and get another 5 or 6 yards. We have no confidence in our offense. I mean, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Very frustrating as a fan.
And as a team that was, you know, supposed to actually, A, had success running the ball on Sunday, and B, before the season, we thought we were on our way to the Super Bowl or deep into the playoffs. Now, we're not even sure we can execute a play without turning the ball over.
Right. I know. It's crazy.
All right, let's change subjects. Good for you folks. CD1 Price Cleaners, you got a coat drive. I just think as we get ahead of this cold weather, let's tell people what you're doing and how to do it. What's the deal here, Michael?
Awesome, yeah. This is our 9th annual coat drive with the Infant Welfare Society of Chicago. And what we're looking for is gently used coats for children, young adults. And if you don't have those, you know, even adult coats, but you can take them to any neighborhood CD1 Price Cleaners. drop them off. Some of the stores have 24-hour drop boxes, and so you could just put them in there. But drop them off, and then what we do is we'll clean them and package them up nicely, and then we get them to the Infant Welfare Society, and they hand them out to, you know, the kids and the families in need. It's a great cause, and, you know, don't hesitate. It runs for 2 weeks. It started Monday, and it runs through November 10th.
November 10th. Now, you're looking for just infants this time around? You're not looking for toddlers or adolescents, juveniles, that sort of thing?
Yeah, we'll take them. We'll take anything. We'll take any coat, but you know, primarily, you know, kid coats, infant coats. But we'll take them all.
Okay. Winter coats for take all. But by golly, if you have access to some infant coats that the little ones aren't wearing, then they'd really like to see those. It's CD1 Price Cleaners, and there's 34 locations in Chicagoland. Is that the number?
That's correct.
And the one near me, I don't think, is open on Sunday, but I don't know if they have a drop box or not. But if they do, drop it off, and if not, get there Monday through Saturday, right?
Absolutely, yeah, from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m.
Okay, and that's November 10th is the last day for this?
That's correct, yep.
Okay, all right. Anything else I need to know? I'll get a coat, go to CD1 Price Cleaners, drop it off. How about the website for the location near you? Do you happen to have that off the top of your head?
Yeah, you can go to cd1pricecleaners.com, and there's a little click that says find a location near you, and you can click on there and find a CD1 Price Cleaners, you know, near your home or your work or wherever you are.
Yeah. CD1, is that the number one or O-N-E?
O-N-E.
CD1 Price Cleaners. Yeah, I don't think you can have a number in the middle of a website, can you? CD1PriceCleaners.com. Find a location near you, and then between now and November 10th, drop off infant coats or maybe some other coats. Keep them as clean as you can. Gently use they're asking for, and let's make this a warmer and better winter for some of these young people. Okay, nice to hear your voice, Michael.
Absolutely.
Thanks in advance to the good work you guys are doing. This is a terrific idea.
Thanks so much, John. I appreciate it.
Have a good day. Strangest story. You know, the thing is you type in your birth date and then a Florida man. I'm thinking about doing an Iowa person. The story is out of Des Moines. I shouldn't introduce it humorously like that. Not that that was especially funny, but the things you get when you do Florida that way are hilarious. But this is tragic. A woman was killed in a gender reveal explosion 45 feet from the device. You may have seen this. The Des Moines Register is reporting authorities on Monday released the name of a woman killed after she was struck by debris during a gender reveal announcement Saturday in Iowa. The sheriff said that family members were working on ways to make a fun announcement of a child's gender for social media. Inadvertently, they created a pipe bomb. Members of the family were experimenting, this is the sheriff now, with different types of explosive materials on Friday and Saturday. Six people, including the woman that was killed and the expectant mother, gathered Saturday, and they put gunpowder inside a homemade stand that was then welded to a metal base. They put a piece of wood on top of the gunpowder and then some colored powder on top of the piece of wood. The stand had a hole drilled in the side for a fuse. So maybe like a flag stand that you tick a pole in, put a little hole there for the wick, and then gunpowder, and then a piece of wood on top, and then the blue or pink powder on top of the wood so it'll shoot the powder into the air. I get it. Finally, tape was wrapped over the top of the assembly. The idea was for the gunpowder to blast the colored powder, indicating the gender, out of the top of the stand. The explosion sent metal shrapnel flying. The woman that was killed instantly was 45 feet away. They found debris more than 100 yards away. The police chief said this is a reminder that anytime someone mixes these things, there's a high potential for serious injury or death. Please do not take these unnecessary risks. My condolences go out to the family. I know the gender reveal thing is a big deal. I don't know how I feel about that. I guess if one of my kids someday tell me they want to do that, I'll be there for it. But I'm old enough school that that's just not how we did it in the 70s.
I've never liked those reveal parties. One main reason is because if it's ever a girl, the dad always looks depressed, and I feel so bad for those future daughters.
Wow. Yeah, I suppose so.
I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
Well, I've never been to one, but yeah, you think the guys want a son, and now they got to put on a happy face. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
And once you meet your daughter, it'll be the happiest day of your life. But you haven't met that daughter. You're just thinking blue or pink, and most guys are probably rooting for blue, huh?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of a guy that really wants a girl unless it's because they only have sons.
You think it's the reverse for women?
No, because I think girls also know that girls can be a handful.
Which is why guys want sons. Guys want sons because they want somebody to play ball with or do guy stuff with.
Yeah, but you can do that with your daughters.
Yeah. Well, tell that to the guys. I guess to me it's not even that, although I see your point, and if that's, you know, another unfortunate consequence of these things, then it's even worse. But to me, it's just everything is so layered anymore. It's like the whole business of getting married. You don't just propose. You have everybody jump out from behind the curtains at a bar that you've rented, and then you say, "Will you marry me?" And she says yes, and then everybody's there for the engagement. They're there for the engagement.
Yeah, everything's a production these
days. Oh, my gosh. I could tell you how we did it, but you can imagine it was pretty simple and seems to be working out. We had a swell time. Line one has a comment. Hey, Kevin, you're on WGN Radio. Hi.
Yeah, John. You know, I didn't care whether I had a boy or a girl, and I thankfully had two healthy girls, and that's all I was excited about was the fact that I had a healthy baby, and you know, could care less about what the sex was even beforehand. We were told we could know, but we didn't want to know. And I was just talking to a friend of mine the other day about this, and you know, seeing that it seems like maybe there's more and more couples that are going back to not finding out, you know, what the sex of the baby is. It's tragic, this story, but you know, it's like, you know, ridiculous, you know, that they, you know, this poor woman was killed during this, but I just wanted a healthy baby.
Yeah.
That's all I cared for.
You know, we didn't know the gender of our kids until they were born. And then you can tell. And then, and I don't know what we looked at first, or the doctor or nurse, but I mean, right away you know the gender, and then immediately your eyes kind of go 10 fingers, 10 toes. Bingo, we win.
Exactly.
That's all I need.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, I appreciate you listening. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Kevin, you have a good day. Hey, John, what was the great music you played at the beginning of the Bears talk? That was Chet Baker. Chet Baker. If you Google or go to Spotify, Chet Baker, the jazz legend who died young, any of his music sounds like that.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
All day long.
Here's John Williams.
What we do, this is John. As I said earlier, some big thoughts and some little ones. You get to decide. Some big ones, I'd say, though, in this half hour. And then our friend Beth Swerk in the second half hour, a little after 2:35. My old producer lives in Northern California. What life is like with those fires and the power problems is amazing.
Last night, I didn't sleep. I was so stressed.
There's a lot of tossing and turning these days.
I had a dream that I was on a call to Ukraine.
All this political talk can make a person drowsy, irritable, and a little crazy.
When I woke up, I saw that I had called a crane company. I now own a $400,000 crane.
And that's a sign of politosis.
Politosis? Can you get me something for that? And do you have any big construction projects coming up?
The answer is no to big projects.
Darn.
But the answer is yes to politosis, and the cure is Eurelium Life 9000.
Was Eurelium one of the Russians?
No, Eurelium Life 9000 is the all-new, all-natural wonder drug made by an ethnically blended group of scientists in New Jersey.
Will it help me sleep?
Duh. It tackles lack of sleep, sore throats, itchy eyes, runny nose, scurvy, whooping cough, Dutch elm disease, and a host of gastrointestinal disorders, including but not limited to ringworm, nausea, constipation, too much gas, not enough gas. Hey, have you seen the price of gas lately? And that thing where your intestines aren't lined up right?
Did you say Dutch elm disease?
Take Eurelium Life 9000.
$9,000 is a pill, liquid, chewable briquette, capsule, gel cap, eye drop, nasal mist, ear burst, time release arm patch, powder, ointment, cream, and now an exciting new home epidural kit that has had some success.
So when I get stressed out about all this political talk, I should just take Urolium Life 9000, right?
Don't take Urolium Life 9000 if you're pregnant, operating heavy machinery, or plan on getting pregnant while operating heavy machinery.
Well, I do have this crane.
I still like the chewable briquette. It's 209. This is WGN. John Williams here. Hi, Steve Dale. How are you?
I'm jealous. I want to be a member of the John Williams Players.
The not ready for primetime players, we call them.
It's hysterical.
Nice
I
to
love
see
it.
You, Steve Dale.
It's good to see you.
He's our pet expert at WGN Radio. And I thought of Steve when I saw a story about the other guest who is in our studio, and that's Jody Whittaker. Jody, how are you? Welcome to the show.
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Jody is the leader of the Chicago Alliance for Animals. The story is, when you come downtown Chicago, you'll see those horse carriages, and it's quaint and charming. Oh, we're in this great old city, and we're taking a horse-drawn carriage ride through the streets. It's a great date night, Friday or Saturday night. Do you ever think about the condition of the horses? And that's what Jody has been doing for a long time. And Steve, you're aware of this whole debate as well. Jody, tell me a little bit about how you became interested in this.
We decided in 2015 to work on a campaign to ban the horse carriages. We didn't know, we weren't aware of the at the time of all the violations. Once we educated ourselves on the laws and started going down and watching them and documenting them, we realized the horses are overworked every single time they're out.
So is your problem that they're overworked? They have six-hour shifts that they're supposed to be pulling carriages around. They can't work more than 6 hours. If they were only working five, would you be okay?
No. There's many other issues. They work them when it's too hot. We were down on the 4th of July this year, and they were working three horses in 91-degree weather.
And the law is they can't even be doing it over 90, right?
Right, at Northerly Island. So that's where the temperature is taken at Northerly Island, which is basically in the lake. So it's bound to be cooler at Northerly Island than on Michigan Avenue.
Oh, and what's more, I've seen videos of these horses that have been taken. I mean, this is not someone's opinion. It's video. I'm looking at it. I'm watching it. And the horse is lame. What's the horse out there working for?
What do you mean lame?
The limping. You know, or you could see open sores on some of these horses.
The story in the Tribune said that the owners say that they're not driving their cash cows, if you will, too hard. I mean, it's not in their interest. They say those sores in one case were chestnuts, which
That's
are natural
true.
Growths, and that the injuries weren't so severe. It could have been self-inflicted while the horse was just walking. It's not as bad as you guys are making it out to be.
We actually have video of that horse that was mentioned in the Tribune article. He did have chestnuts, but he also had open sores, and he was limping. And his tail was tied to the harness that day, so he couldn't swat his tail to get flies off his legs.
Where do the horses live when they're not there?
Antique Coach and Carriage's stable is at Clybourne, just north of Fullerton. It's a small, dilapidated warehouse that they call a stable.
It's kind of like a Ritz-Carlton for horses, huh? Not
it's,
quite.
It's cages for horses.
Yeah, yeah. And horses, you know, the appropriate enrichment for horses is to give them some opportunity every single day to go out and graze. I mean, that's kind of 101. You don't have to be a horse expert, and I don't claim to be, to know that. How often are they given that opportunity?
Well, if they are living in the city, there is no requirement for turnout, which means there's no requirement to allow them to be in grass or pasture, to socialize with other horses,
A horse that lives on Clybourne sounds sad to me. That just sounds like, you showed me, do you have the picture? I know
sure.
This is bad radio, but I just want to look at it for a second. So that looks like a small manufacturing building. There could be a dry cleaners in there. It's just a small,
yeah.
low-rise.
Yeah, nobody knows.
And look at it's the, not two
look
stories
at the,
tall.
The size compared to that van.
It's right. So there's a van, white van parked in front of it, and it's about twice as long as the van.
And cities increasingly all over
horses
the country.
Horses live in there, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No. All over the country, cities have said, well, enough is enough. I mean, it looks quaint. It seems like it's nice. It can attract tourists, but there are other ways to do all of that. And this just isn't right.
Oh, other cities have banned it?
Many, yeah.
Really?
Yep. You know, the public is changing. The public no longer wants animals exploited for profit. We have Chicago Alliance for Animals has more than 200 business endorsements. Just three of those endorsements have more than 10 million supporters.
Is it fair to tell somebody, though, whose business it is, that they can't have their business anymore?
When you break the law day in and day out, then yes, we do.
Okay.
They had 334 violations in 2017 alone. They overworked the horses every single time we're out. There were three horses overworked Sunday. There were five horses overworked last Saturday.
How do you know all of this?
Because we go down to the stand at 10 or 11 a.m. and we stay down there all day until 10 or 11 at night.
You sit there with a watch and a notepad and you notice how long the horse has been out there?
Yes. And we call the police, and we call Business Affairs and Consumer Protection, and we call Chicago Animal Care and Control, nobody does anything.
Yeah.
There are volunteers that do this. Jody, I don't believe, is down there 24-7. Oh. But you have a staff of volunteers
that do
this.
Yes, we have volunteers who do it.
And I wonder what animal control thinks. Like, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do if I get the animal control call? You know, if there's a raccoon in somebody's garage, I can go get that and remove it. I don't know what I'm supposed to do about a quote-unquote overworked horse.
Well, true.
At 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday, nobody answers or calls us back from Chicago Animal Care and Control. I get a call Monday morning, but that's not helping the horses who are overworked on Saturday and Sunday nights.
Yeah.
And in defense of Chicago Animal Care and Control, it really isn't their wheelhouse. It is
true.
The definition of what they're supposed to do. I get that. But horses are not their specialty. We live in an urban environment, and your point is well taken. What do they do?
Well, Business Affairs and Consumer Protection should have an inspector at least on call on Saturday and Sunday nights.
What's the definition of working? In the Tribune article, as I recall, one of the owners said, is it the amount of time the horse is standing on the side of the street, or is it the amount of time the horse is pulling a carriage? I mean, you know,
well, according
does it
to
matter
these...
to the horse if at the seventh hour he's still standing there, he's just not working?
Well, you know, are the drivers who are sitting on the back of a carriage, are they considered working?
Sure they are.
Well, we've got 334 violations. These came from the City of Chicago Business Affairs and Consumer Protection. I didn't create these. These came from the city that show violations and basically state that the horse was observed in operation at the horse carriage stand from 12:56 p.m. to 10:22 p.m., which far surpasses the allowed hours for 24-hour period. So the city breaks it down by the time the horse arrives at the stand to the time as long as the horse is there. They don't break it down by ride.
Is there any alternatives? Go ahead, Steve.
No, you have a dog. Would you have your dog go all day without water? You know, and your dog isn't outside working necessarily, as these horses aren't, and sometimes they go all day without water. I mean, and the thing is that these operators, I wasn't as on board as I am now some number of years ago, but these operators have been given a chance, and then another chance, and then another chance, then another chance.
How many violations were there, did you say?
334 in 2017. The problem is they still have this many violations. It's just that BACP is not doing their job. I mean, we were down there Saturday, we were down there Sunday, and they're not down there documenting. And we had a meeting with the mayor last Thursday where a representative from BACP actually stated that the operators cannot be cited if an inspector does not witness the violation him or herself. If you use that logic, does that mean a crime doesn't take place if the police don't witness it?
630 texted in and said, thank goodness for these people. Animals are not for profit. Animals are. We eat animals. So I will present to you, somebody else said 219. Okay, John, let's hear the other side of the story. I thought the Tribune did a pretty good job about it. And Steve, I kind of wanted you to referee both sides of this. You've looked at both sides. And
at one point in time, I was more, you know, in the middle, John, but again, given a chance and then given another chance, and I'm not talking about all of those hundreds of violations, literally hundreds. I'm talking about over the years. And the city has at one point even adjusted what is fair and not fair in defense of the operators. But this continues. And, you know, other cities have shown us that you don't need them. You can attract tourists. You can do other things. So,
But if I may, Steve.
Yes, sir.
You don't need them. Who's the you in this? The person whose business it is providing horse carriage rides, they need them. This is what they do. I don't know if it's their sole means of income, but this is their business.
But if you break the law, should you allowed to keep your business? If I went to work every single day and broke the law at my job, I wouldn't expect to keep that job. They've proven time and time again they're breaking the law. These are laws that were created with the input of veterinarians and equine experts. I didn't create these laws. There are laws on the books, and they're not following them.
What's more, John, and these are not... So this isn't only breaking the law, which Jody is right, but these are living, breathing things with feelings. Horses are that, and it's just wrong to let it go on like they have.
Steve, what's the status of the ordinance?
Right now, the two aldermen who are most affected by this, interestingly enough, are the aldermen who stood up and said, you know what, we have to sponsor a bill and get this through.
And we have 26 official co-sponsors on O2019-4125, the ordinance that would ban the horse carriages. We have 32 total aldermen who've told us they support a horse carriage ban. We have the support. The ordinance is sitting in the license committee. Mayor Lightfoot needs to allow the democratic process to work, allow this bill to be heard next Wednesday in the license committee. And if it passes, it should be allowed to go to a full vote in the full city council meeting.
Well, in Chicago, the council goes as the alderman goes in whose district an item is represented. So if your guy is green lighting this, it sounds like once it gets out of committee, it goes.
But it's not getting out of committee. That's the problem.
Once it goes out of committee.
And yeah, if it doesn't get heard next Wednesday, that means the licenses for these horses, the horse carriage operators, are going to be renewed. And they're going to be allowed to work these horses for another full year, overwork the horses, not provide water, work them when it's too hot. And no city official is stopping it.
In our studio right now, Steve Dale, you recognize his voice. He's heard Sunday mornings on WGN Radio at 6:30 a.m. And also Jody Whitaker, the leader of the Chicago Alliance for Animals. Lots of calls and texts about this, you guys. I think people are a little torn about it. It's heartbreaking what you're saying.
But what's the other side? What are they saying on the other side?
Well, one of them is on the phone. He just called in. So we'll give him his due. But I think even as a consumer, I think we like the idea of the things that make Chicago a great city, and one of them is the horse-drawn carriage rides.
I don't believe people think that. We have been down on the streets for 3 years. Four years.
Hold on 1 second. We'll take a break. We'll pick it up here. This is WGN. Steve Dale is here, WGN Radio's very own pet behavior consultant, and Jody Whitaker. Did you see the story about her, the Chicago Alliance for Animals? There's an ordinance that is not out of committee to make illegal those horse-drawn carriages. Jody and Steve, we've got some calls. Fair enough.
Sure.
We'll start with Jim. You're on WGN. Jim, thanks for calling. What do you want to say?
Hi. I would like to say, in response to a number of things that Ms. Whitaker has brought up, basically all of them.
Hey, Jim, you are the owner of, or you work at, you're the owner of Great Lakes Horse and Carriage. Is that right?
Correct.
So are these your horses and carriages we're talking about?
Some of them, correct.
Okay, so what has she said that you don't agree with?
Well, let's start with the stalls where the horses are kept in the antique coach and carriage barn. They are all within parameters set up by the Illinois Department of Agriculture of what is acceptable to keep horses in. And the city of Chicago has come and measured and inspected that facility. So they're not kept there all the time. It's not like they don't see the light of day ever. And they are cycled in and out.
Talk
about that for a second, Jim. What about the hours? It seems like that's the thing that got you in trouble to begin with here, if you hadn't been working in
past
6 hours.
Well, the 6-hour workday has never reflected our standards and practices. And approximately 5 years ago, the horse and carriage owners brought this to the attention of BACP. And about the same time that we were addressing where the temperature was to be taken, it used to be taken at O'Hare Field, which is nowhere near where we work.
I see.
And we asked to have it moved to Northerly Island, which the city accepted, because at Northerly Island is the official NOAA weather station for the lakefront.
What is your thought about that?
Well, I'm looking at 21 violations from James Rogers from BACP. One I happen to look at is work hours and then weather limitations. So working horse when it's hotter than 90 degrees and working a horse from 1256 to 1032 p.m.
If you look back and look at the weather station, which that is supposed to be taken from, I was never out on the street while it was above 90 degrees at the weather station at Northerly Island.
BACP determined that he was breaking the law. I've got 21 violations right here from the city of Chicago.
If you go back and look at the weather data from the NOAA website, you will see that those horses were never worked when it was above 90 degrees. And then also,
go ahead, Jim.
While we are out working, and it does become over 90 degrees, we are allowed to finish the ride with our passengers, rest the horse for up to 15 minutes, and then we are told to leave.
Jim, I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you called in. I'm going to run out of time here, but the bottom line is your contention is, though she might not agree with this, that you are in compliance with the rules. Is that right?
Right, and we are trying and have been trying to negotiate in this six-hour rule to define what exactly it is.
Yeah, I think that's
the city's defined it.
Yeah, but
I mean, because if the horse is if the horse can stand in its stall just as well as it can stand in between a ride and rest.
Jim, right. Are you working when you're sitting on top of a horse?
That's the second time you said that, and I get the point. That's clever, but really, is it that much different if the horse is standing on the streets in Chicago or standing over there and quote unquote not working? It's a horse standing. So how much more onerous is it for
right,
the horse?
But if it's way over hours and that temperature, as we talked about off the air on the asphalt, really, you know, so the air temperature can be one thing, but that temperature in reality where these horses are could well be on some days over 100 degrees.
Let's follow this ordinance. Jim, thank you for calling in. I'll give you more time next time we do this. Good luck to you. What's the website for your organization?
ChicagoAllianceForAnimals.org. Can I just mention the city took the carriage operators to court last summer, allowed each company to settle, got rid of many of their violations and fines, and yet they didn't even comply with the terms of that settlement, which was submitting logbooks on the first of each month.
We are out of time. We'll follow the ordinance
thank
with you,
John.
You, Steve. Thank you both for coming in. Jim, thanks
thank
for the call.
You.
This is WGN. Thank you, Jordan. 2:37, this is Sean Williams. How are you? Half the time's Beth. We're going to talk to Beth in just a second. Half the time's Elif, when you play a song, I don't know it. This time I know it. Why are you playing this one, Producer Olive? What's going on over there?
A letter written by Prince a long time ago has been unearthed, revealing his distaste for Ed Sheeran and Kate. Let me just go back. A letter written by Prince has been unearthed, revealing his distaste for Ed Sheeran and Katy Perry, whom he reportedly said are being rammed down people's throats by the music industry. More of his letters have been found by his estate and are being compiled into a book by one of his superfans.
That he would never endorse, by the way. That's
right. I don't understand. This again reminds me of the Whitney Houston debacle with the hologram show.
The amount of money that the Prince estate is worth is staggering, and they're all fighting over it and doing things that he never would have approved of. So now a book of his letters, too. By the way, it's surprising to me that Ed Sheeran was even alive and on the scene when Prince was a recording artist and alive and on the scene. Ed Sheeran strikes me as being a relatively recent phenomenon. Prince has been dead for a little while here, so I'm surprised he even had an opinion about Ed Sheeran. I guess they overlapped, huh?
Yeah, they definitely did.
What does revealing that help?
Right.
Just, like, why?
Now that you mention it, well, it helps the person selling the letters in a book. Now they're going to make some money. And I'll tell you what, the Prince people, they will pay for it. I mean, having said all of that, Prince fans are pretty devout. They will collect their Prince stuff. I'll bet that book will sell. 238 WGN. By the way, Beth Swerk, I mentioned her a moment ago. I said Beth. Beth Swerk, my old producer, is going to join us in just a couple
She's
of seconds.
She's not that old.
She lives in Northern California and was telling me about what it's like with those fires and the absence of electricity. Beth, say hello to us in a second. Steve Dale was just on a moment ago with our guest. I had no idea that was going to light up the way it did, Steve.
I'm not surprised.
Horse-drawn carriages downtown, should we have them or not? We're getting lots of texts. Some of you think there are bigger fish to fry, like the city strike, the teacher strike. Trust me, we're covering the teacher strike. If I got to be king, I
thought you were.
The paperwork's tied up at Cook County.
I didn't know.
If I were king, I've always felt a little bad for those horses.
Yeah.
But, you know, you were giving me great ideas like, well, what they could do is do old-fashioned electric cars and give people the old jalopy experience throughout the city. But that doesn't do any good to the guy that's got horses. He doesn't have electric old-fashioned cars. He's got horses.
You know, times change. And enough is enough. And they've been given, as Jody pointed out, opportunity after opportunity.
Different question for you. Everybody's talking about the dog that was used to get
that cool?
Baghdadi guy.
Yeah.
The founder of ISIS. And they say the dog wasn't a German Shepherd. That's what it looks like to me. But a Belgian...
Malinois.
Malinois. What is that?
It's one of the three Belgian breeds of sheepdog that is used... they can be great pets. They're intense dogs, and they are great for the kind of work that these dogs have done. So when we caught Bin Laden, a Belgian Malinois, and as a matter of fact, was involved in that too.
Oh, no kidding.
And sometimes we use them to actually jump out of parachutes.
No kidding.
No.
So they're intelligent dogs and got a good nose, huh?
Yes and yes, very much so. They're brilliant, and they have been used by the U.S. military for a very long time. In fact, there are more Malinois in our military than any other breed or mix.
Happy Cat Day, by the way.
Yes! Isn't that amazing? It's National Cat Day. It is a howl-a-day.
I don't know that it's that amazing.
It is.
Happy for you, cat.
This is the most amazing day ever. Everyone should have at least one cat. By the way, $500 million.
For?
That is how much money we spend on Halloween costumes now for our pets.
Okay, I got to let you go, Steve, but did you have some safety tips or something else you wanted to say about
If your dog is out trick-or-treating, and it's not for all dogs, incidentally, so right there, be careful. It may not be for your dog, and if your dog is we tell kids, as parents, we say, if it's not wrapped in a package, don't give it to. Same thing with our pets. If it's not wrapped in a package and you've gone trick-or-treating with your dog, don't give it to your dog. I'd be suspect.
Oh, you mean of homemade treats?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and dogs should not eat nuts. They shouldn't eat chocolate.
Right,
right. They shouldn't eat probably none of that stuff anyway.
Right, raisins.
Oh, really? Raisins
bad?
Last time you were on, we were talking about things not to feed your dog. Grapes?
Mm-hmm.
Grapes? Daisy loves strawberry popsicles. Well, that's what we were talking about last time.
Yes, and that's okay.
The frozen pops.
That's okay.
The dog never likes me. She crawls into my lap if I have one of those frozen strawberry pops. Okay, Steve, thank you for visiting with us with our guest.
Tomorrow morning with Mr. Cochran, we adopt out a dog from Animal Care and Control.
Are you going to bring the dog in?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, that's must-see TV. And you can watch the radio show.
Yes, you can.
What time are you on with Steve tomorrow?
9:30.
Okay. We'll be watching and listening. Thank you, Steve Dale.
Thank you, Mr. King.
And listen to him Sunday mornings at 6:30 here on WGN Radio. By the way, speaking of WGN Radio, Beth Swerk produced my show for 57 years. Hi, Beth. How are you?
It felt like 56.
But it felt like 56.
And the first show I ever produced was Steve Dale.
Oh,
no kidding. Moment.
I did not know that, Steve. Beth just reminded us she was the first show she ever produced was yours. And yet she decided to stay in the business for a little while. And now she's out in California. Where do you live, Beth?
I live in Sausalito. Hi, John Williams.
Hi, Beth. So let's jump into this. What's the name of your energy company there, PG&E?
Oh, yes. I have other curse words I've been using for them, but yes, that's their name.
They've been shutting off the power because when the high winds knock the power lines down, they spark and start these fires, which are raging in some cases, out of control still. So are you without power right now?
I am. Day four. And second time this month.
You're on the fourth day. Are you going to have power tomorrow?
They said Wednesday or Thursday now.
So what happened to all of the food in your refrigerator?
Well, it's garbage day, so we compost out here, so I composted it this morning.
You're a single person. If you had a couple kids and if you had a family of four, I wonder if you lose a refrigerator full of food, that's a couple $100 right there.
I mean, it's a mess because about 3 weeks ago, they gave us 12 hours notice and did this. PG&E turned off the power to a bunch of the grid. It was a much smaller scale. It was still big, but a smaller scale. And it was for just enough for everything to thaw out and melt and us to throw everything away. And they said it was because of high winds, and it was 75 and sunny and not a wind in the sight. But this time, then they started a fire which is the Kincaid Fire out here, which is devastating. It started last Thursday, and it's at 75,000 acres, and is only 15% contained. And the winds out here are really scary. They're 70, 80, 90-mile winds that are hurricane force. In fact, the fire on Saturday was 10% contained, and on Sunday we woke up to being 5% contained. So it's really hard, and I don't take any of this lightly, and I'm very grateful to not be closer to the fire or be evacuated. But there are a lot of people out here without power since Saturday. So their theory is if they turn off power, they won't start fires. But I think the frustrating part for a lot of people is that they're still starting fires. I think it was like told today that there have actually been two more.
Wait, hold on, Beth.
They didn't turn off power.
But you say they started the fires, not intentionally, but just...
No. But
their lines fall down, yeah. And so at least, I mean, so you must appreciate, maybe you must not, but so that's why they're shutting the power out, because if a line goes down and it's hot, then we've got another fire.
Right.
I wonder if the people who had the power going through the line to their house wished that they hadn't had power, right? I mean,
it's a Band-Aid fix, I think, at the core of it. I mean, if me being out of power for 4 days stopped a huge fire, I'm happy to be out of power for 6 days. But I think it's just the timing of it. It's the Band-Aid fix. It's just not been very well managed or messaged. And it really is, I mean, it is pitch black. I don't think I really appreciated what without power meant. And again, for me, it's only an inconvenience. I mean,
the street lights are out.
I don't. What's that?
The street lights are out.
It's literally 2 million people, and it is like an hour worth of a span of street all power, street lights, grocery stores, restaurants, gas stations, schools, churches, courthouses, homes, like literally everything is out of power. It is. You cross the Golden Gate Bridge and it is pitch black. And again, I, you know, for me, it's an inconvenience. I'm not elderly. I don't have breast milk in the freezer. I don't have medication. But for a lot of people, it's a really big deal.
Okay, hold on. So I know I'm belaboring the obvious, but it is kind of hard to imagine because when here in the Midwest, if you're without power, it's usually during the summer and there's been a tornado or a thunderstorm and you're out for 6 hours, and it's a great inconvenience. You're talking about 6 days. So if I was running a business, I'm probably 6 days without income then, right?
Yeah, and everybody just restocked their shelves. I mean, I live in a small town. You know, the local market restocked all their shelves after they put the power out for 2 days last time. And now they're losing their inventory again.
What do you watch?
They're not selling.
And you can't even watch TV then.
I mean, it's 2019, so I just downloaded stuff to my iPad. But yes, I cannot even watch TV.
Yeah, but how do you power your iPad?
Well, I work in the city. I learned a lot the first time. So my mom was out here last weekend, and our big trip was to get me a lantern. So that was cool. We're all kind of learning as we go. Flashlights, lanterns, my fancy lantern you can charge your phone in. But it's not fun. So Friday night we got the warning and we all ran home and like did our dishes and laundry and prepped the food as best as we could. And Saturday we just kind of waited and then all of a sudden the power went out.
Do you have hot water, Beth?
No.
You don't have a gas-powered furnace or hot water heater?
I don't have hot water. I don't have a stove. I don't have anything.
How have you been bathing for the last 5 days, or have you? Maybe you have.
Cold. I'm cold. But you should see me with wet hair and makeup by lantern.
What about this, Beth? Because you mentioned this just in passing to me the other day. So if it's pitch black, that means the hardware stores and the restaurants and stuff aren't doing business in your neighborhood. Does everybody then cross the bridge? And is San Francisco more crowded than this week?
Yeah. So I think the thing is, like, it's not just my neighborhood. It is literally from here until Sonoma. I mean, it's an hour drive is black, essentially, and that's not being dramatic. So what I discovered yesterday, so I come into the city for work, which I live close to the city, so it is not the end of the world for me, but for a lot of people, it is. So I came into the city, I was like, I'm going to leave by 5 because I want to get home before it's dark out, got myself on the bus, and it took 3 hours to get home. I live 7 miles from my office. because everybody had to come to the city to get food, to get power, to charge their stuff. You know, my town, the library, has a charging station. Every single person is going there, so you can't. So traffic's insane because people have to come for gas, for food. You can't run out to the grocery store.
Well, and even if you could, I mean, say you went to the grocery store and you got milk and, you know, anything that's perishable, it wouldn't keep long in your house anyway. What's the point?
And then...
Hold on, Beth. I got to take a break. We still do commercials here at WGN. Remember when you worked here? Here's my question when you come back.
That's my least favorite part of the... I mean, I love commercials. Go.
Commercials, good. When we come back, just tell me what the buzz is. Like, are they mad at the governor? Are they mad at the mayor? What's the ramification about this? And when is it going to get fixed? Beth Swerk, you remember Kathy and Judy? She produced them. She produced for me. She produced for Steve Dale. Longtime voice and personality at this radio station. Is now, I guess, air-drying her hair in California. In Northern California, WGN Radio's Beth Swerk now works. We still claim you, Beth, but you don't work for us anymore. You're in the, what is it, advertising business out there?
I do marketing at Masterclass.
Oh, no kidding, Masterclass. I just saw a commercial for them the other day. How about that? You like that out there, Beth?
I love it. It's an incredible experience, and hard to follow up a career at WGN, but this is close but still second to my days with you, John.
3 minutes left. So what are people talking about? Do they want a new governor? Do they want who are they mad at? What's the buzz these days?
I think it's a combination of people are mad at PG&E, very mad. It's been 2 years. It's a big business. It's Band-Aid instead of solution. Again, we're all happy to go in the dark if that means we're not starting fires, but we're still starting fires, and it, clearly this cannot be the new normal. So people are very mad at PG&E, and I think it's a blend of that big business, and it's also, you know, at the end of the day, our climate. It's really dry. Yeah. It's really windy. We haven't had fires this consistent before, and the last 3 years have been completely out of control. And they are now coming into neighborhoods. I can't dry my hair, and I don't have groceries, but I have several friends who have been evacuated from their homes since Saturday, and they wet their roof and don't know if they get to go back. So it's frustration, it's anger, it's all of the things.
What about,
and it's unfortunately the struggle that we're facing here in the falls now.
What about phone calls and phone conversation? Has that been restricted then? Because at the end of the day, if you can't recharge, you can't participate.
That was the other thing I meant to mention. I'm lucky my carrier is still working, but half of the people in my county and the, I think, 36 counties affected by the power outage, the AT&T wires got knocked down. So people cannot communicate on their cell phones. My colleague lives out by me as well with kids. You know, they live up in the dark, windy roads in the hills of Sausalito and don't have a phone to make emergency calls or to get the text updates. You know, we're getting the fire department and the city are trying to give us updates on when the power is going to come back on or what might happen. But if the winds keep up, it's going to keep going. There's supposed to be another really bad windstorm tonight, so they're keeping the power off. And who knows how on and off this is going to be.
Beth, they don't have any rules against whole house generators, do they? Not that you'd get one for your apartment, say, but, I mean, if you had a generator, you could power a lot of a house, right?
A couple people are starting. I think that's going to also become the norm of buying generators. I've got one friend Sunday. There were like, I mean, I was joking the other day. I missed snow days, and then this came along. like one friend has a generator, and I think like 18 of us were in their 2-bedroom apartment on Sunday. But my friend owns he runs a ceramic store out here where he is now renting a generator that's $8,000 a month because otherwise he loses $70,000 of product a day. And so it's the companies and the businesses are going to start going that. I think it's so fresh that not a lot have yet, but that's a cost and an effort and an energy sucker too.
All right, time's up. So our guest has been Beth Swerk. Lots of texts, Beth, and some of them are saying, it's so nice to hear Beth. Woohoo! Stay well.
Well, it's so nice to talk to you.
I'll talk to you again soon, my friend. My best to everybody out there, and thanks for sharing us your experience.
Thank you, John Williams. Love you.
I love Beth's work. Don't you too?
Hey, thanks for listening to my podcast. This is John Williams. I'm live weekdays from 1 to 3. And remember, our Mincing Rascals podcast drops Thursdays at 5. The Rascals is a round table of talkers and journalists. This year, judged best in the state by the Illinois Broadcasters Association.